Good Monday morning. It's Monday morning once again. Here we are. I'm Pastor Tony. This is Monday Minutes Podcast teaching. To everyone who follows these Monday morning teaching discussions, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I continue to get good feedback from several of you that really enjoy these. Thank you. I'm glad that is. I simply ask you to do one thing. If you enjoy it, share it. Share it on your media wall. Tell someone about it. Tell someone to go to therefugenm.com. Click on Pastor's Podcast. One of the two things. But do something to share it, because if you're enjoying these conversations, you can help someone else be blessed by simply sharing it and helping us reach more people. And for those of you that follow these that do not attend our church, we want you to know that we appreciate you very, very much. And you can follow our church website for more information. And if you're brand new, I want you to know this is not preaching. This is not a recording of our services. This is podcast teaching that we offer on Monday morning. And the important point of these teachings is to help Christians grow. That's my audience, Christians who want to grow, who want to be taught, who want to learn the Word of God. We've been talking about the Bible in this, in these episodes. We've been talking about, are you woke? We've been talking about what it means to be woke in reality and in definition. And this is, goodness gracious, where are we? This is part four. I lose track sometimes once I get going. This is part four of Are You Woke? Let me ask you a question. If I would hand you, now think about this. Come on, get with me. Get your coffee. Get woke up. It's Monday morning. Hope you had a good weekend. Oh, by the way, I almost forgot our Monday morning verse. What is it? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. So, hope you're rejoicing today and have a blessed day. Let me ask you this. If I would give you a $100 bill, now, that's a blessing. It really is. If I would give you a $100 bill, and if you believe that $100 bill is real, you would use it. Would you not? You would apply it. You would take it and you would use it. If you don't believe it's real, then you're not going to take the blessing serious. But if you believe that $100 bill is legit, you would take it and you would use it. But think about this. Unless you choose to use it, having it does you zero good. You can have the $100 bill, you can hold it, you can look at it, you can smell it, you can walk around and show it to others. But unless you take it and apply it, use it, it does you no good. Now think about it. You can have $100 bill in your pocket and could starve to death. A man or a woman could lay on the street and starve until their heart stops beating while a $100 bill is sitting in their pocket, because that $100 bill does zero good unless it's being used. Now, with that said, the Bible does zero good unless it's being used. The Bible is no good to you whatsoever unless you take it out and use it and apply it. And that's where we pick up our discussion today concerning the Bible and how that applies to wokeism. Well, what does it mean to be woke? When I ask the question, are you woke? Well, you should know by now I'm asking the question of cultural relevance. Now, we've defined what it means to be woke, and if you study that and look it up, you'll find I'm right, that the actual definition of wokeism, or to be woke, is to be socially aware, or to be aware of a social, political agendas and culture, or to be aware of political injustices, or to be someone who wants to promote justice for all. Now, I've said this in all of our discussions on these episodes, that definition alone is a good definition. And if that was truly the definition of what it means to be woke, I would be in that number. I'd say, hey, I'm woke. But the practical application of what it really means, I mean, I've read some definitions to you. I've read some articles to you. What it really means to be woke is really truly a progressive liberal agenda of secularization of culture. Now, secularization of culture means taking and removing God from all things public. That's what secularization means. It is a removal of God from all things public. And that's really, truly in the nuts and the bolts and right down to the nitty gritty. You can have a pretty little definition for woke all as someone wants to, but the actual application of it is to remove God from all things public and challenge anything that appears to be injustice in the eyes of culture. Well, that might be good in some ways, because I am not a prejudiced person. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what your ethnic background is. I am not a political prejudiced person. I'm also very egalitarian. I support women. I support women in authority. I support women in ministry. I support a woman president. I have no problem with equal push for women and women's rights, and I have no problem with that. But the problems I do have with wokeism is when you come to the Bible and question the Bible and call principles and teachings from God injustice. And my friends, when you really get right down to it, don't fall for what the news is telling you. Some of you might watch the news, others might not. Whether you do or don't, please don't fall for it. Don't fall for the agenda of the positive promotion of wokeism. While it sounds good in definition, and I even agree with some elements of it, the practical application in real life is an attack on anything that does not seem right to man. Some of those things are good and noteworthy, but other than those of those things are attacking what the Bible teaches. And I've made the point, don't go woke, go back to the book. Matter of fact, we are never more fair than when we follow the book, the Bible. We are never more socially aware than when we follow the book, the Bible. We are never more generous than when we follow the book, the Bible. We are never more egalitarian than when we follow the book, the Bible. Come on, somebody, help me today. The best way to promote the good for humanity is to follow what the Bible says. And the best way to ruin humanity is to ignore what the Bible says. So, you know, that's my issue with wokeism. And again, I have made the point, have I not? Someone say yes. I have made the point that woke is good in definition, but bad in practicality. So, you know, here we are, the fourth episode and the final episode on this topic, and I ask the question, are you woke? Well, you know, if I have not convinced you yet, I might fail to convince you. I don't know. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I want to encourage you to stand by the Bible. Now, we go back to this image of the $100 bill. The $100 bill does you no good, not applied, and the same stands with the Bible. The Bible does no good, not applied. In these conversations, I have started basic with the Bible. We've talked about the history of the Bible, the makeup of the Bible, the composition of the Bible. We talked about, is the Bible trustworthy? Today, I want to kind of talk with us for a few moments about, is the Bible authoritative? We talked about inspiration of the Bible and how the Bible. You say, why is all this important, Pastor Tony, when it comes to a topic of wokeism? Because, well, this is the core of the conversation. This is what makes the this talking about the Bible is what makes this entire topic even relevant. Because wokeism in its core practical application is attacking many biblical values. And the only way you and I are going to be able to stand in the face of an ever-changing, postmodern, secularized culture, the only way you're going to stand in the face of wokeism is to stand by the Bible, the book, the Word of God. And so I'm talking about the relevancy of the Bible, the inspiration of the Bible, and all of that. But today I'm getting into the authoritativeness of the Bible. Now go back to that $100 bill. That $100 bill, if legit, is authoritative in America. It has the power to be used. It has the authority, the backing of the United States Federal Reserve. It is legal tender. You can take it into a store and buy food with it. It's legit. It's authoritative. It's usable. It's applicable. Well, the same is true with the Bible. The Bible is legit. The Bible is authoritative. The Bible is usable. The Bible is applicable. So how do we stand in the face of a changing, postmodern, liberalized, secularized culture? How do we stand firm in a culture and hold on to our faith when wokeism is screaming down our neck? I was talking to someone just today. Now, I won't post this on social media just yet because I have to do my homework and make sure this is legitimate research and legitimate article. But I was told by someone today that the Biden administration, and I'm not political, so don't jump on me for speaking that word, but the Biden administration is attempting right now to force every school system in the nation to endorse and push the LGBTQT, I hope I got those letters right, community teachings and gender fluidity. That's the gender transitional issues taught in school. They are trying to force this to be taught in every public school in America, or they will take away the funding for that particular school to have free food and free lunch and free breakfast for the children. Now, if that's true, and I have to check that to make sure that's true, but if that's true, they are going to manipulate money to feed children to force your school districts to cram this nonsense down your children's throat. That's why I refuse to put my child in public school. If I had to quit ministry and homeschool him myself, I would. He will not attend a public school. He is not going to be brainwashed by a secular school system for the next generation. That's what's going on right now, my friends. We are living in a secularized culture. And if that report be true concerning the Biden administration, this is wokeism in its finest. And you ask the question, how are we going to be able to stand in this culture? It's standing on the authority of the Bible. That's the, oh my God, hallelujah, somebody say amen. That's the only way, friends, on a Monday morning, that's the only way you're going to be able to stand. That's the only way we're going to see revival and renewal. It's the only way we're going to see church make it. I've said this over and over as part of my dissertation work. 70% of churches in America are dying or plateaued. That's not a good place to be. And the only way we're going to make it in a ever-increasing, postmodern, anti-God, secular, woke culture is to stand by the Bible. Can I please get someone with me today? If I could just exhort you and build up your faith to stand by the Bible. So the Bible is authoritative. Just like a $100 bill is authoritative to take to a grocery store and buy milk for your baby, the Bible is authoritative to be applied to your life. A scripture we've been looking at in these is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that says, and I read it in the New King James, it says, all scripture, someone say all, not part, not some, not a buffet of choice, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We've talked about inspiration, what that means, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Not only does the word come from God, my friends, but the word is to be believed and applied. If the word is not believed and the word is not applied, then it's useless to you. And yes, it's very possible to be saved and a member of a church and the Bible be useless to you. Let me ask you this morning, is the Bible useless to you? Are you applying it? Do you believe it? Are you making application? Are you standing on the Bible? Are you taking that $100 bill out of your pocket and using it? Or are you folding it up like it's not there? Are you using the Bible or are you not using the Bible? So, come on now. This is basic stuff right here. It comes down to reading the Bible, studying the Bible, believing the Bible, quoting the Bible, praying the Bible, and activating the Bible. Because the Bible says, and that might be a circular argument to some, but the Bible says that if you don't apply it, it's useless. It's like looking into a mirror and walking away and forgetting what you look like. Do the word, not just be a hearer only, James says. So, you know, we have to apply it. We have to use it. And to some of you, now, to some of you, you might be thinking, Pastor, really? I mean, come on. I got on here today to have a good conversation, and you're talking about Bible basics. But, you know, there's an ever-increasing number of people that do not believe the Bible who go to church every Sunday. There's an ever-increasing number of people that might believe the Bible. Maybe you're saying, I believe it, but don't actually apply it. Come on, somebody. Do you actually apply it? Do you use it? Do you read it? Do you speak it? Do you engage it? Do you adjust your life to what it says? When you hear a word be preached, do you get convicted and get mad, or do you get convicted and make change? I challenge you to get convicted and make change versus get convicted and say, oh, I disagree with that. I mean, we have to apply it. Come on, amen. I mean, we have to apply it. And if we don't apply it, it's like having that $100 bill and not using it. Now, you might be on the opposite end. You might say, I believe the Bible. I've been saved longer than you, preacher. But are you applying it? Are you making application? The Bible is authoritative. That means it has the final authority over my life. I'm not to read the Bible subjectively in a relative fashion. It is to be read objectively in an authoritative fashion. Now, what does that mean? What that means is I'm not to read the Bible and say, well, it doesn't apply to me. I'm ignoring that verse. I must read the Bible objectively and say whether I like that verse or not, it's true. I must repent and make change. I mean, when's the last time you read a verse in the Bible, studied it to make sure you're right, and say, okay, God, I repent of my ways? Let me ask you that this morning. Let's dig deep right here. Let's get right to the heart. Let's get right to the heart this morning. When's the last time you read something in the Bible and looked at yourself and said, my good God in mercy, I am wrong. And I've been wrong. My mom was wrong. My dad was wrong. And I'm wrong. And I'm sorry, God. I give up. I surrender. I repent. I'm changing my views on this to line up with God's word. Now, I love you, but if you're not doing that, you're not reading the Bible objectively, and you're not reading the Bible with authority, because the Bible has no authority over you. Oh, now, yes, we love to quote the Bible when it's God, give me my blessings. We love to quote and stand on and activate Philippians 4:19 and my God shall supply glory. I feel the Holy Ghost, someone might say. And my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. Activate that word, preacher. Amen. 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 But what about when we read, don't cuss, don't curse, don't let any words come out of your mouth that are offensive to God. Do we say, I need to change that? I'm sorry, Lord. What about when we read in the Bible and it says, I need to believe what, you know, I should treat all people with respect, and I've not been doing that, Lord. Yeah. What about when we read the Bible in 1 Timothy and it says that homosexuality is an equal with any other sin? Oh, goodness God, my views are wrong on this. I've given in to wokeism, Lord. I have followed the culture and I've went with what seems right to man. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I line my views up with your... No, oftentimes we say, but God, that can't be right. You see, I'm just trying to make some examples here today, all right? Don't get mad at Pastor Tony. I'm just trying. Come on now. If you're going to listen with me, you might as well dig deep and get mad and get glad and change and hallelujah. This is the example of how the Bible is authoritative, you see. We have to apply it to ourselves and make change. Yes, it's true, and I talked about this some last week. It's true that we must interpret the Bible contextually, context, right? We have to cross-reference and do some word studies and maybe read a commentary on a passage. And we got to make sure we're properly interpreting the Bible. That's why some of our Baptist friends will say that you shouldn't be egalitarian and women can't be in leadership because they take some scriptures and they read them for face value, not in light of all other scripture, and they fail to interpret that topic correctly, and they come out with a doctrine that is opposing to women and is abusive, frankly, and to women because, well, I'm reading the Bible, preacher. It's what the Bible says, but they're taking it out of context and not in context with all other scripture. Remember, the rule of interpretation is context, 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 and all scripture must be interpreted in light of all other scripture. So yes, there's work to do to get a good interpretation. I mean, I use Romans 16:16 lightly, tongue in cheek, as an example. But Romans 16:16 says that you should greet your brother with a kiss. That doesn't mean that we should take that verse and apply it and everyone should kiss each other in the sanctuary. That's not what that means. That is a context of that day where Roman culture was being applied and Paul was following Roman culture and Roman custom in that day. So yeah, you have to study the word and be not ashamed of your study. You have to do some word study from time to time. You have to cross-reference and read and get some good texturization from the scripture. Absolutely. I mean, I probably should teach a class sometime just on the how to interpret the Bible, good proper hermeneutics, good proper exegesis, good proper Bible interpretation, because I mean, I got a book in my library that's about 4 inches thick on the rules of interpretation, inductive Bible study. So yeah, I get that. And maybe this conversation is not time and place for that. So don't get bored with me. Are you still with me? Say amen. Don't fall asleep on me this morning. Drink some more coffee. Anybody have anything to keep you awake today? Amen. But my point today is that if we're going to stand against wokeism, we've got to bring application and authority from the Bible and make sure that we're getting our views from Scripture and not from self and feelings and emotions and a woke culture. Don't get brainwashed by the woke culture. Stand by the word in this culture. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to push back against people. I'm not hateful. I'm not a hateful person. I'm a forgiving person and a loving person. And I believe in having a soft heart. And I believe in hearing people's opinions and views. I get that. Yes, everyone, I get that. I understand that. I'm not prejudiced. I know there's injustices in this nation that need to be addressed. I'm with you. But at the same time, I'm going to make sure that the Bible is my source of authority and that I'm doing what it says in proper context and not what I think. That's how we stand firm in a culture that's growing ever anti-God. That's how we do it. This text here, I'm just making the point that we should arrange our lives accordingly to the Word and not bring our lives to the Word and arrange the Word accordingly. Now get that. Don't arrange the Word to your life. Let the Word arrange your life. Amen. You know, I read the scripture. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Can I break that down for just a moment as we begin to wrap this up? That word doctrine means instructions. That word is profitable for a doctrine means instructions. What is a doctrine? It's instructions. Don't tell me a church should not have doctrine. We have to have instruction, a foundation, a statement of belief. Yes, we do. The word reproof means evidence. The word correction means to straighten up. So we need to take the Bible and make application to let it straighten me up. Let it give me instruction, not me give. Now, let me give you this. I don't know about you, but when you buy something, it comes with an owner's manual or instructions of usage. And I mean, think about this. When you, if you go buy an iPad, I'm an iMan, okay? I'm an Apple man, all right? Apple phone, Apple computer, Apple, I'm just an Apple guy, all right? So, if you go buy a new iPad, it's going to come with an owner's manual, an instruction manual. Now, the makers of the iPad know best about the iPad, do they not? Because they made it. They know more about it than you do. So we don't argue the validity of the instruction manual because the instruction manual was written by the expert of the product. So why do we argue with the instruction manual for life that was written by the expert of life, God, the inventor of life? Now, why do we do that? That's really what the Bible is. It's God's owner's manual. It's God's instruction book. God's the expert. God made everything. And we're simply going by the book written by the God that made all things. So when I ask you, are you woke? I'm asking you the question, really down deep inside. I'm asking you the question, do you believe the Bible and are you walking by the authority of the Bible or are you caught up into a cultural mantra? Now only you can answer that question. Only you can decide for yourself. Only you can answer for you. I love you. I bless your heart. I can't make any decisions for you. You can't make any decisions for me. I leave this here. I leave this conversation with you. I'm moving on. This is our last talk about this, but I'm asking you the question right now. Are you woke? And only you can answer that. But I want to encourage you to go back to the book. I want to encourage you to stand on the Word. I want to encourage you to let the Word be authoritative in your life, meaning it changes you. You don't change it. Stand firm, okay? Stand firm in an ever-changing, upside-down culture. Hear my heart. Stand firm on the Bible. I hope this has been a blessing to you. If it has, share it to be a blessing with someone else. Tell someone to go to therefugenm.com, click on Pastor's Podcast, or share the link on your social media wall. Have a great Monday.